And good morning to you, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Happy Monday on a Tuesday for many of you listening. For myself, this is a Monday on a Tuesday. Matt Neely, happy Monday on a Tuesday. Making the magic happen on the other side of the glass. Making the show happen every morning here. Good morning to you, Matt.
Happy Monday on a Tuesday to you, Zach. I certainly appreciated the day off to celebrate the life of Martin Luther King and take a little rest from the routine. So absolutely good to be back.
Absolutely. And we obviously weren't in studio yesterday, but my third segment will be a bit of a honoring of Dr. King. Will be our third segment. Our fourth segment today will be with Akhil Hamid. We'll talk about the Sustainable Strength System, a 90-day strength system that I'm going through, and so we'll talk about my journey a little bit. But the first half of this show, we're gonna kick things off and hit the ground running. We're gonna talk with Keith Gregory here in just a second, the director of housing for the Pasquayaki tribe, working on the largest project on tribal lands in the country using low-income housing tax credits. So we'll talk about the different projects, and then also how do we make affordable housing happen in this community overall. So that's our show today. Don't forget, Mayor Joe Winfield of Oro Valley makes his debut on Tipping Point on Thursday, and lots more in between. So good to be back. Good to be back in the saddle here on this beautiful Tuesday in Tucson. Let's jump right in. 520-790-2040 is the live line you can use to join the conversation at any time. It's the number that Keith Gregory, the director of housing for the Pasquayaki tribe, used to be with us this morning. Happy-ish, new year-ish, Keith Gregory. Can we still say that? Good morning to you, sir. Welcome aboard.
How's it going? And good morning, and happy sort of new year to you. I love the Tuesday on a Monday thing, or Monday on a Tuesday thing. That's pretty cool.
Well, it just means that Friday Eve will be here sooner, Keith, so it's a good week.
I love that, right? A long weekend, short week. I love that.
It's a beautiful thing. Keith, it's great to talk with you again. We've interfaced on some things in the city of Tucson before. You were the deputy director for Tucson's Department of Housing and Community Development. And after that, and since then, you've been with the Pasquayaki tribe. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to the Tucson and Southern Arizona area. And tell us about some of the really exciting projects that are happening in the Pasquayaki tribe.
Sure. It's been a crazy journey for me. I mean, I started my career in Pittsburgh, working for the Housing Authority City of Pittsburgh, and then kind of traveled the world. So, I worked for Pittsburgh. I worked in Chicago twice. I worked in Atlanta, Florida, and even spent a year in Alaska. And that's what kind of brought me to Arizona. I went from the freezing cold to the blistering heat of Tucson. But, so I came here to, like you mentioned, to be the deputy director of the City of Tucson's Housing Community Development Department. And then fortunately found myself being considered and ultimately being offered the opportunity to work as the director of housing for the Pasquayaki tribe, which is just so exciting. And it's so much fun. I mean, I love the work that I get to do. I love the community I get to do the work for. It's just one of those, and not every day you get to do a job that you truly love. And I'm really fortunate because I get to do that.
That's awesome. Keith Gregory, the Pasquayaki tribe will begin construction here in January, or is expected to, on a $9.6 million housing development of 27 townhomes on the southwest side to create more affordable housing. This is the largest project on tribal lands in the country using low-income housing tax credit. 50 units of single-family housing will be built when both phases of this project are done. And the tribe manages about 700 units and would like to, obviously needs to, build more. Tell us a little bit about this project and why it's so unique and what it brings to Tucson.
Yeah, it's such an exciting project. So we set out in 2018 or 2019 to do a low-income housing tax credit development, which basically is just a funding mechanism to help build affordable housing. But when we set out to do that project, we decided that we were going to go as big as we possibly could. It was an interesting time because we were actually putting a project together in the beginning of the pandemic. So a lot of other organizations were shutting down, not proposing to do projects, and we took the opportunity to go full speed ahead and try and do the biggest project we could do. We actually didn't know that it was the largest project that had ever been done until later. Our tax credit investor, Raymond James, actually reached out to let us know that that the first phase of the project, which was the 50 units, was the largest that had ever been done. The overall project is a subdivision, and that's something else that's unique. You know, you don't see a lot of tribes building complete subdivisions using tax credits. So we're on phase two of three phases, where, you know, we're trying to build entire housing diversity in a small community. So there'll be hopefully apartments as well as the townhouses and single family houses all in one community, all in one little subdivision, that will allow families to have choice. You know, they don't have to choose one style of housing. They can really move through housing as it suits their family's needs.
That's amazing. So how does the tax credit work in terms of these units can be rented for X amount of years, and then there's an opportunity to buy the house, or how does that work in this case?
Yeah, so basically the way it works, once we use the tax credits, they are specifically for affordable housing. So when you build with tax credits, you are agreeing as you take those funds to build housing that will meet the needs of the low-income housing low-income families in your community. So we're building low-income housing. You know, the rents will be no more than 30% of a family's income, whatever that income might be. They'll remain rentals for 15 years. Now, normally when you're doing a tax credit development, at the end of the 15 years, the units don't become home ownership. So we're doing another kind of first in our developments where we're taking the units, and at the end of the rental period, which is a 15-year time frame, so long as the families meet certain criteria, you know, they pay their rent, they haven't been a nuisance, those kinds of things, they can then become actual homeowners. So one of the things that we've noticed, that I've noticed throughout my career, but one of the things that we kind of targeted at the tribe is building generational wealth, and how do you do that? And, you know, the research is pretty clear. Real estate and home ownership is the single easiest way to build generational wealth. So we're using that tool, we're using that knowledge, and helping to create the first step in generational wealth for these families by helping to make people and make families homeowners.
Yeah, that's really cool, and I like the home ownership component of this. And there are how many families are on your waiting list that need housing, Keith Gregory?
Too many, man. Too many. So we have a total of just shy of 1,100 families on our waiting list. Which, keep that in perspective. The tribe has about 23,000 tribal members. So, you know, comparatively, it's a pretty high percentage. I know if you hear the numbers from the city of Tucson, it sounds comparatively small, because I think their waiting list is like 10,000 people. But right, when you think about our entire area is encompasses 23,000 individuals, and 1,100 of them need affordable housing, are on our waiting list currently waiting for housing they can afford. It's a big number.
Got it. I actually want to use that, Keith Gregory, as a segue to part two of our conversation. But last question, let's say these families see their income increase, as we hope their income does over time. So they get to have one of these units that you're building, their income increases. Do they ever disqualify, if that's the right word, for the housing? Once they're in it, income goes up. Do they get to stay in those units, or do you have to prove a certain level of income to be in this subdivision?
No. I mean, as long as everybody buys me lunch every so often, they can stay as long as they want. So the families, as their income increases, they can stay in the unit. So basically they will pay 30% of their household income.
Gotcha.
Up to a certain point that is the fair market. So it's not like if, for example, somebody made $1 million, we're not going to charge them $300,000 in rent. There's a reasonable cap called the fair market cap. So we'll get to that point where, you know, this just the fair market rent that you would find anywhere in Tucson, but they will only pay 30% of their income, no matter whether it goes up or down. The rent will adjust to maintain that 30% number.
We're with Keith Gregory this morning, the director of housing for the Pasquayaki tribe here in Southern Arizona. The largest project on tribal lands in the country using low-income housing tax credit is happening right here in Tucson and southern Arizona. We're going to go to our first break of the hour, our first and last break of this conversation. When we come back, I want to talk more broadly with Keith Gregory about the housing market we see here in Tucson. And when I asked Keith how many families are on a waiting list needing housing, Keith said, too many. So how do we build more and build faster? The Pascua-Yaki tribe is making a dent in a big way, but there's so much work to do. We'll talk about that on the other side here on Tipping Point, 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back.
Local and national politics, the issues that matter to you. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the nearly 60 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges currently under construction, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
Zach Yenser here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson. Located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, Hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love?
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
Helping you make better money decisions is what the Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios. You're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVY The Voice. We're joined here for our top of the hour guest conversation. This first live one of our week, our Monday here on a Tuesday, with Keith Gregory, Director of Housing for the Pascua-Yaki Tribe. We'll honor Dr. King the day we celebrated yesterday. We're live today. We'll celebrate Dr. King in our third segment. Akil Hamid will be with us in the fourth segment to talk about my fitness journey and the sustainable strength system that I'm doing that I think a lot of people should be doing. So we'll talk about that as well. Keith, good morning to you. Good to be with you again. Are we in a housing crisis in Southern Arizona?
That's probably the understatement of the century. Yeah, I think we are.
Hey, I gave you a segment to warm up, Keith. Now come the less easy questions. We're talking about one project, of course, the housing development that, when both phases are done, will be 50 units of single family housing in a subdivision built by the Pascua-Yaki tribe. It's the largest project on tribal lands in the country using the low-income housing tax credit that then catalyzes more investor equity. And these houses are going to be beautiful, and they're going to hopefully create generational wealth with an opportunity to buy the house after a 15-year period. What are some of the ways that we can more rapidly develop housing that is affordable, which may include low-income affordable housing, but also just housing in general that meets median wages and just is feasible for the region? You have been in this business for a long time, Keith Gregory. How do we get ourselves out of this crisis quickly?
You know, and this is just my personal opinion, because I know everybody's got different opinions on how to resolve the crisis, whether it's, you know, the dwelling units in the backyards or some other mechanism. My belief is that, you know, we just need more housing, period, right? Because housing is largely like anything else. It's supply and demand. And right now, there's not enough supply to meet the demand. So that the way that we deal with that in our economy is that prices go up. So it's just my opinion, but we just need to drastically increase the amount of housing stock that's being built, because that obviously drives down prices, it decreases the competition, and it allows for more options that are within the financial means of most people. I mean, even myself, and, you know, I consider myself pretty firmly in the middle class. You know, I look at buying a house in Tucson, I'm kind of like, well,
forget about it.
A little pricey, you know, right? And I think, you know, even, you know, I look at Phoenix, and I'm just like, wow, it's even worse there, you know. And it's interesting because when I came to Tucson in 2018, I was impressed at how affordable things seemed at the time. Coming here, having spent time in Alaska, having spent time in Chicago, it seemed very affordable. And it didn't take very long for that to just completely flip. And now everything is basically unaffordable. So, you know, my opinion is we have to have more production. You know, you have to have – Tucson has a lot of open spaces within the city limits. And I feel like those things need to be developed or allowed to be developed. And I know, you know, I'm a Chicago guy, so I know that, you know, I'm not, you know, bothered by looking up and seeing buildings everywhere. I know that's not a Tucson thing, but at some level, we kind of have to look at that as an option. Yes, it's more dense. Maybe it doesn't always make people happy, but it does create a lot of housing, and it takes up currently existing vacant space. So I think, you know, some combination of those things is what's necessary to address this situation.
Yeah, Keith, I agree with you. I think we're at it, and I'm not trying to be silly here. This is why I call the show what I call it. We're at a tipping point, I think, on this issue. And certainly in Tucson, you know, in Tucson, we value our open space. We value our environmental resiliency. We protect our environmental resources, but we are a growing community. Environmental interests protest horizontal development, and neighborhood interests push back against vertical development. And somebody is going to have to give somewhere. I think both sides are going to have to give somewhere, because we can't keep doing what we're doing. What has gotten us here today is not going to get us to tomorrow. That much is clear. And so I agree with you that it's a supply issue. So how do you increase supply, Keith Gregory?
I mean, I just got all the answers. I'm just going to, you know, if I could just borrow like a couple billion dollars, I'll just solve the problem for you, you know. You know, I think when it comes to supply, you know, we look at, you know, for example, I know there are lots of vacant areas, and I know that there's a lot of processes that, and that's and not necessarily a bad thing. I think cities do need to have processes to protect the kinds of things that are getting built, the way they're getting built. But I think in order to increase supply, it has to be easier to build things. It has to be within all the things that are within our control, because there are a lot of things that aren't, right? We're working on the project that we're working on that's under construction, the single family homes. We saw lumber prices triple, you know, while we were in construction.
Yep.
And, you know, so there are certain things that are outside of your control as a developer, and that's the developer's job to mitigate that stuff and deal with that stuff, right? But at the same time, there are things that are within the municipality's control, within the community's control, that help. And as we have processes that we can control, we have to make those easier for developers or for even just individuals. When we say developers, I think a lot of times people forget an individual building their own single-family home, they're developers too. I mean, right. It's not in the same sense. When you say developer, people think of these rich guys running around in BMWs building high-rises, but single families or new construction single-family home, they're a developer for that time frame. So we have to find ways to make the processes easier, to make the cost lower, And yes, I mean, there are limits to what the city can do and what a municipality can do. But when we think about how we allocate our dollars and how we vote towards certain things, you know, we really do need to be mindful of the way that, you know, we're approaching these processes. Can it be easier to build a house? Can it be easier to build an accessory dwelling unit? All of these things help towards that process. But at the same time, you know, I'm a big city guy. I'm just kind of like, look, if somebody wants to buy it and build it, let them, because we need the housing that badly.
Yep. No, Keith, I appreciate that. We're with Keith Gregory, the director of housing for the Passamaquoddy Tribe. I have one more quick question for you. You joked in the beginning, give me $2 billion and I'll solve it. I actually disagree with that, and for a point, Keith, and that is I don't think it's a money issue. You can throw all the money at this problem. If there's not the community will to make the decisions and make it easier, it doesn't matter how much money you throw at this problem. It is a legislative and political will question, I think, at the end of the day. That's my opinion. Not saying that's your opinion, but I think you're absolutely right. There's a lot that needs to go into this. The Passamaquoddy Tribe has a level of sovereignty, though, right, Keith? That you can make decisions on the you can make decisions faster and more and differently than our municipalities. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And that's one of the interesting upsides of working for the tribe, in that on the reservation land, we have complete control over how things are done and what's done. And we can, you know, tribal council, not I, but tribal council can make those decisions fairly quickly. So one of the things that's made our projects much easier to do, all of the red tape, all of the bureaucracy that developers would normally have to go through, I don't have to go through. We got a piece of land, we went with council, we laid it out, we decided what we were going to build, and then we went after the money. That took a year, maybe, and now it's so easy. I just go find the money, design the development, build it. And we go from phase one to phase two to phase three. We're going to be three phases in, all three, well, one will be done, but you know, two will be under construction, and it'll be a four-year time frame. We will have close to 200 units underway, built, or in some level of construction. So that sovereignty does go a long way to allowing us to make critical decisions. It also cuts the other way, though, because that freedom to make decisions makes you have to really, really analyze the decisions you're making, because you don't have, there's a lot of the processes that you would normally go through where things might get caught and say, oh, well, you can't do this for this reason here, you know, and this is the adjustment. We don't always have all of those processes. So it really does fall back on us as a developer, the housing department, myself as a developer, to say, let's check all the boxes while we're doing this, because if we mess it up, there's nobody to catch it. It's us, and it's all the way on us, you know.
Mm. Keith Gregory, Director of Housing for the Passamaquoddy Tribe. I could talk with you about this for a full hour, but the music's in my ear and yours. I got to cut you loose, but show us the way. Keith Gregory, Passamaquoddy Tribe, we need more supply. You're doing a lot to get more supply happening. Appreciate this conversation. I've really enjoyed this chat and hope to do it again soon.
Anytime. Thank you for the time. I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. When we come back after our bottom of the hour news break, we'll honor Dr. Keene and his legacy here on the program. Much more to go on Tipping Point, 1030 The Voice.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the nearly 60 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges currently under construction, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to present the Patrick Martinez Look What You Created exhibition. In his first solo museum exhibition in the American Southwest, Los Angeles-based artist Patrick Martinez explores sites of personal, civic, and cultural loss sustained over recent years in America. Opening just this month through April 24th, you can go see it in the Kasser Family Wing of Latin American Art. TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to get your tickets now.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios. You're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. This is our, we're joking it, our Monday on a Tuesday. That is the line that Matt Neely and I are using today, making the magic happen on the other side of the glass. Always thank Matt for his work. And it makes Thursday Eve, or Friday Eve rather, that much closer. So a bit of a short week here. This segment is sponsored by Little Love Burger. They opened downtown last October, serving up the juiciest burgers, loaded hot dogs, have ice cream, milkshakes, local brews, and breakfast sandwiches. You can follow them on social media at Little Love Burger as they continue to get their feet wet in downtown. Their hours do change, open for your typical lunch and dinner hours, but definitely check them out. Little Love Burger on Facebook, on Google. Make sure you get their most updated hours. They are a few doors down from the Rialto Theater. So we're loving supporting their launch and excited for their success in downtown Tucson. Up ahead, Akil Hamid, Sustainable Strength System, is with us. He's calling in just a few moments. But I did want to take a couple minutes and honor the life and legacy of Dr. King. Of course, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day was yesterday, and we were out of studio yesterday in recognition of that day. But I wanted to mention a few things in memory. And yesterday was the first day that I did not post an MLK quote. And I don't know why. I do know why I didn't, but for some reason this year, I recognized more than ever that in these divisive times, just about everybody finds something to post from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that backs up their personal political point of view. And I never saw it before in that way. But I decided, look, I'm not going to do that. Because I have been encouraged by some colleagues that the tenor of this show, I think, shows that even more than searching for civility in these times, that it's more important to recognize the complexity of the issues we deal with and the things that we talk about. We should be searching less for civility and more for understanding the complexity. And there was this great piece by a guy named E.J. Dion Jr., a well-known columnist. He wrote for the Washington Post. I actually got to meet him a few years ago. He talks about the fact, and I agree with him, that in practice, precisely because King has become, in retrospect, a consensual hero, we have turned him into a consensual figure. And it's interesting because both my friends on the left and the right want to make Dr. King into their image. But he was both a Christian pastor and an aggressive civil rights leader. He both believed in religion and in science. As E.J. Dion says, he believed in the conversion of adversaries, but also realized getting there required confrontation and discomfort. Another example, conservatives love to note that King believed in individual achievement and responsibility, which is true. He said it's important for people to engage in self-help programs and do all they can to lift themselves by their own bootstraps, unquote. I think there's a great deal that the black people of this country must do for themselves and that nobody else can do for them, unquote. E.J. Dion says, but that comment came in the course of a critique of an over-reliance on the bootstrap philosophy as it applied to black Americans, given that no other ethnic group has been enslaved on American soil, and that America made the black man's color a stigma. There appears to me a kind of socialism for the rich and rugged, hard, individualistic capitalism for the poor. Dr. King believed as a Christian pastor, as a Baptist preacher, that he was in the heart-changing business. He said Sunday after Sunday, quote, "I'm preaching about conversion and the need for the new birth and regeneration. I'm honest enough to see the gone wrongness of human nature." On the contrary, King argued only legislation could guarantee racial justice. He said it may be true that morality cannot be legislated, but behavior can be regulated. It may be true that the law cannot change the heart, but it can restrain the heartless. It may be true that the law can't make a man love me, but it can restrain him from lynching me, and I think that's pretty important." Unquote. So yesterday was the first day where I didn't go find my favorite quote and put it on social media. Because I saw my conservative friends post quotes that backed up their worldview, and I saw my liberal friends post quotes of Dr. King that backed up their worldview. And I think the real legacy of Dr. King, as E.J. Dionne put it, was a both-and figure, not an either-or figure. He pushed on both ends of our political heart. He pushed on the legal system. He pushed on the gone wrongness of human nature that I think conservatives recognize. Dr. King is not a legendary figure because there is a way for everyone to agree with him. He is a figure of influence today because he pushed back on and pushed on all of what we think we know about our world on both sides of the political aisle. And I think that is why we should honor him and sit back and continue to learn and not take his words out of context, because they often came in these speeches that pushed back on just about everybody and made everybody think just a little bit. E.J. Dionne wrote this: "Dr. King was bold. Don't make him bland." And I think we tend to make him bland. And certainly saw this yesterday as Dr. King's words were used to push for certain political movements and initiatives in our current time. To me, this cuts both ways. And I think Dr. King's legacy is much deeper and much richer than that. As a person of the Christian faith, and I think E.J. Dionne even mentioned this. This is a really good piece, in my opinion. In Washington Post, "Dr. King was bold. Don't make him bland." If we can do this with the Bible, then we will do this with Dr. King, and we do. We craft it into our own image. We take words out of context to back up our own beliefs and our view of the world. And the real man, the real conversations, the real speeches push back on just about everybody's view of the world. And that's what I think made Dr. King great. I want to go to our last break of the hour. When we come back, my friend Akil Hamid will be with us today to finish out the hour. I have gone on a fitness journey between just the last year and having a baby. I didn't have a baby. My wife had a baby. My wife sometimes listens. So just to be clear, I didn't have the baby. But there's sympathy weight there that happens. And I just got to a point where I'm not as healthy as I used to be or as I want to be. And Akil said he's looking for men over a certain age to join him as he coaches them through a diet and a weight loss and a fitness journey. And I signed up in 2022. And I'm a week in. It's been a blast, and I'll share with you kind of how that's going. You can get to hear from Akil about the Sustainable Strength System. That's where we're going on the other side right after this. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser returns on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Radio by and for the people of Tucson. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Why I Love Where I Live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Tucson. Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to present the Patrick Martinez Look What You Created exhibition. In his first solo museum exhibition in the American Southwest, Los Angeles-based artist Patrick Martinez explores sites of personal, civic, and cultural loss sustained over recent years in America. Opening just this month through April 24th, you can go see it in the Kasser Family Wing of Latin American Art. TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to get your tickets now. Zach Yenser here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson. Located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, Hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love?
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI, The Voice.
All righty, Zach.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona, here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, live out of the Common Workspace Studios, airing on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice, here in Southern Arizona and beyond. Happy to be with you today. If you miss any of today's show, you can catch it on our podcast. Go to kvy.com/podcast, Google Play Music, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We are there. You can listen back. We started off the show with Keith Gregory, the director of housing for the Passamaquoddy tribe, doing some things that are nationally recognized as happening here and only here. The largest project on tribal lands in the country using low-income housing tax credit. So we talked about that today and how to continue to chip away at the housing crisis. We honored in our small way that we can here Dr. King, his life and legacy, someone who honored the individual and the institution, and also pushed back on individualism and the systems and institutions that are a part of the gong wrongness of humanity, and talked about how I think that we can honor Dr. King by honoring the complexity of his message, that it is neither what conservatives or liberals would like to frame in their own mind, but he pushed back on everybody. And that complexity, I think we should honor and apply to our lives here today. Akhil Hamid will be with us in this fourth segment, talking about the sustainable strength system and how it can help you get your body where it needs to be here in 2022. Matt, do we have Akhil in the green room? Super. Akhil Hamid, a good friend, gotten to work together in the community for a few years now. Now we're working together on a one-on-one basis. Akhil, good morning to you. Sustainable strength system, welcome aboard.
Good morning, Zach. How are you?
Good. So, Akhil, tell us, before we jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in Tucson. And before we talk about the program, how did we get to the point where you developed a program called Sustainable Strength System? Who is Akhil?
Well, again, thanks for having me on. Well, you know, I am a fitness enthusiast. You know, my parents put me in martial arts when I was very young. And I grew up in a household just that was very focused on health and nutrition and working out and just kind of trying to make sure that you're living a healthy lifestyle. And so, you know, I own a gym here in Tucson I've been teaching here in Tucson for about 10 years, and I've had a brick and mortar space for a little over 7 years. So I've been working in the health and wellness space for quite some time. And I came about with this program in part because I think COVID contributed to it, because when COVID hit and we had to close our doors, you know, people were still wanting to work out. So I took a lot of things online, and I really found that the online process really allowed me to still be able to connect with people and to provide kind of a healthy platform for people to kind of stay focused and to live healthier lifestyles. So, you know, as things began to open back up, and, you know, just in my travels, I've just connected with a lot of people who still wanted to train with me. And so the Sustainable Strength System was really based in allowing me to be able to reach more people in a more efficient way.
How would you describe the sustainable strength system? And we'll get to my personal, you know, perspective on this journey in a second. But how would you describe the sustainable strength system to a listener out there who's going, you know, 2021 was a year where I, you know, because of COVID in the last 2 years, I go to the gym less, I eat more, more stressed, not able to be at the fit level that I want to be or that I once was. What is the sustainable strength system and what makes it particularly effective in your mind, Akhil?
Well, I think at its core, what I would hope for people is to just build a more healthy lifestyle and more healthy, consistent, you know, fitness and nutrition choices. I think that's the ultimate goal. You know, people tell me, you know, I'm just the kind of person where I really love to work out, right? For me, it's like my therapy. I just feel like a better person. And so, you know, people are always like, well, why are you always working out? And I say, for me, fitness is a lifestyle. And so I think that at its core, the sustainable strength system should improve the quality of life of people. I think that everyone can agree that, you know, the last 2 years, health has been a big issue. I think that moving into this next year, it should still be a focus, I think, for everyone. You know, in addition to wearing masks and all of those things, overall, we should really just be trying to focus on our health. So that's the at the top of it. But ultimately, the program, you know, is just helping you build healthy habits to get into the gym or do some type of movement on a regular basis. I am not a big I don't like fad diets and things like that. I think that diets should be manageable and they shouldn't cause a whole lot of stress. But there are some things that you can do to help, you know, if you're someone who has some excess weight and you want to lose that weight, as well as someone who may be a little bit thinner and wants to put on some healthy weight. There are tried and true things that you can do that are still healthy. So I kind of provide an avenue for people at all different fitness levels to kind of achieve some goals so that they can just live a healthier lifestyle in general.
Very cool. Last question, and then I think, you know, sharing my participation in this program is probably the easiest way to share with listeners what it looks like in real life. But is this for men? Is this for women? Is this for all the above? Do you focus on any group specifically, Akhil?
Right. So right now, I mean, through the years, I've trained, you know, everyone from, you know, elderly population, men, women, and children. This particular program, I'm starting focusing on men over the age of 30. And I did that for a number of reasons. But primarily, you know, I've historically actually worked with more women than I've worked with men in terms of personal training. But I am a man over 30. And so, you know, as I've aged, I've saw how my body has changed. I've saw, you know, how my metabolism has changed. So for me, a lot of people always ask me, they're just like, you know, guys, you know, when I'm in the gym, they're like, what do you do? How, you know, how have you maintained this physique? So I thought it made more sense for me to start with this population because I am a man. But you know, the program in theory is suitable for men and women. I think that, you know, obviously men and women train differently, you know, their bodies hold weight in different kinds of ways. And honestly, I've had a lot of response from a lot of women who actually would like to train. And so I'm looking to do something in the future. But right now, the program is focused on men over the age of 30.
Gotcha. Well, that's how we connected on this, I guess, to shift gears here to where I come in on this. You had put a call out before the new year of like, hey, I want to work with a group of guys on this program. We chatted and I said, look, Akhil, and my commitment to you, Akhil, too, was I wanted to talk about my journey through this on the program. It's you and I are partnering for a 3 month period. And I said, Akhil, look, I used to run a lot. I used to be in the gym and all that dropped off. I gained a number of pounds that it's not healthy. I don't want to. And so I'm looking to lose some weight, to get back in the gym, to have a program, to eat better and to add some cardio in as well. And that's what this program is doing. You and I sat down and set a goal. And once I onboarded with you, there's an app that is used. There's online resources. And you and I are either chatting or talking almost daily, Akhil, counting either the food that I'm eating or getting me on a slow carb diet. There's not just here's your resources and I'll see you in 12 weeks. It's very hands-on. And I'm a week in, Akhil, and I can already tell a difference. And it's pretty amazing, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, too. I've never been so more accountable to somebody on my health in my life, Akhil. But my third decade was the decade to do that, apparently.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you trusting me in that. And I think that I'm really happy to hear that you feel like you feel a difference in just 1 week. And I think that that's the issue is that, you know, when you work out and you go to the gym one day, you look in the mirror, you're probably not going to see any results. If you do that the next day, again, even over a week period of time, even if you spend 4 hours in the gym every single day, you're not going to see any results. But over a period of time, it's the consistency. You know, if you maintain, even if you just worked out 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, you know, for the next year, I can guarantee you that you're going to see a big difference in your quality of life. Not only about how you look, but also how you feel. So I think that that's ultimately my goal is that, you know, at the end of this 90-day period, even if you don't continue to do all of the things that we talk about or that, you know, that we do during the program, some of the things will stick and, you know, and it's and you will reap the benefits over a long period of time.
Yeah. I think day to day, Akhil, and I'm just kind of trying to think about this conversation. I feel like you and I are almost kind of have a bit of a coaching call and our listeners get to look in. You know, really you give me a checklist and it's two upper body days and two lower body days, 2 days of light to medium cardio and then a day off. And in between we're checking on diet and making sure that I'm there. And Akhil, what I think is interesting is that on the surface, these kind of programs seem really complicated, seem really high level, seem really complex. But as I just said out loud, I'm like, that's it. It is an accountable plan to be exercising and maybe more importantly, to get the diet right. You curate all of that and then just say, I'm also your accountability partner and I make sure that you're doing it right. I think that simplifies it for people, Akhil.
Right. I have a saying where I say fitness is simple, but we make it hard or we make it complex. You know, anyone can go online and find, you know, a workout program in bodybuilding.com or, you know, any number of the resources. The internet, you know, allows us the opportunity to have access to so much information. I think that not all plans are right for all people. You know, I think that and not all body types, you know, in all actuality, I can eat the exact same things that you could eat over a 6 month period of time, and we're going to have very different results. Mm. So I think that's why it's good to have a little bit more of a professional or someone who can take a look at everything objectively and give you a little bit more of a direction. Obviously, the accountability, that's a huge thing, you know, and that's, you know, I don't like to be someone who's just going to be bothering someone all the time. But that's why this program is not necessarily for, you know, this is a program for highly motivated, independent, you know, professionals, people that want to make the commitment. They have a belief system that they can achieve their goals and they're just looking for someone to help guide them through it.
Mm-hmm. So Akhil, and in subsequent months, we'll talk, you know, way more details and kind of give folks a picture of what you and I are working on. But for the sake of today, you're inviting men over 30 listening who want to have a coach for a 12-week period to get into a good flow around diet and fitness and to have some coaching and accountability around it. It's not complex. It's not going to, you know, force you to completely change everything about your life, but it's a consistent way to get heading in the right direction. If someone listening that is checking those boxes, that seems to be kind of the ideal invitation right now, right, Akhil?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't want to suggest that it's super easy and it's not going to require some kind of adjustment. you know, the program at this point would require about a 4 day a week commitment in terms of being, you know, being in the gym. And then you will have to be a bit more mindful and accountable with the types of foods that you eat. I think we all know that, you know, if you're working out at the gym, but then you're eating the wrong things, then you're not going to get the results. But absolutely, I think, you know, any men, and it's not just weight loss, you know, most people struggle more in that area. But, you know, if you're thinner and you'd like to put on some lean muscle or some lean athletic muscle, we can also work with you. So.
Cool. Akil, I mean, I'm really appreciating this journey. I appreciate the time and attention that you're giving me on a weekly basis. SustainableStrengthSystem.com here on our way out of this conversation. Is that where people can go to get a hold of you and to have a first conversation?
Absolutely. SustainableStrengthSystem.com. You know, you can read a little bit more about me. Check out, there's some FAQs on there about the program. And then you just fill out a form, and then I will reach out to you and schedule a call.
I love it. Well, Akil, I'm sure I will talk to you later today. Thanks for this conversation on the air. And I'm looking forward to updating our listeners on my personal journey and being transparent and out there in that way as a part of my accountability. So, Akil, appreciate you, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much, Zach. Talk to you later.
Akil Hamid, SustainableStrengthSystem.com. Tucson will be back tomorrow. Hugh Hewitt up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon. Tipping Point returns tomorrow, Wednesday. Take care.